Hi, this is David. If you're serious about improving your energy, performance, and overall health, what you put in your body matters. But here's the problem. The U.S. allows over 10,000 food additives in our food supply, many of which are banned in other countries. But I've found a solution. Thrive Market, the no-junk online grocery store that bans over 1,000 harmful ingredients and makes high-quality nutrition the new standard. And it's not just food. Thrive Market also has top-tier supplements for longevity and recovery. My go-tos are vitamin D, magnesium, and B12 to keep my energy levels high. They even carry antioxidant-rich green tea and anti-inflammatory superfoods to help with recovery. With savings up to 30% off and fast carbon-neutral shipping, Thrive Market takes the guesswork out of eating clean. No junk. No fillers, just the best in high-quality nutrition. Want to upgrade your health? Go to thrivemarket.com/inspirational for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/inspirational. thrivemarket.com/inspirational. Thank you. Welcome to Our Sunday Talks. Today's talk was edited and adapted from
Prayer, The Art of Believing by Neville Goddard, published in 1945.
Prayer is an art and requires practice. The first requirement is a controlled imagination. Ostentation and vain repetitions are foreign to prayer. Its exercise requires tranquility and peace of mind. The ceremonies that are customarily used in prayer are mere superstitions and have been invented to give prayer an air of solemnity. Those who do practice the art of prayer are often ignorant of the laws that control it. They attribute the results obtained to the ceremonies and mistake the letter for the spirit. The essence of prayer is faith, but faith must be permeated with understanding to be given that active quality which it does not possess when standing alone. Our Sunday talk today is an attempt to reduce the unknown to the known by pointing out conditions on which prayers are answered and without which they cannot be answered. The universal law of reversibility is the foundation on which prayer is based. The injunction to pray, believing that you already possess what you pray for, is based upon a knowledge of the law of inverse transformation. If your realized prayer produces in you a definite feeling or a state of consciousness, then inversely, that particular feeling or state of consciousness must produce your realized prayer. Because all transformations of force are reversible, you should always assume the feeling of your fulfilled wish. You should awaken within you the feeling that you are, and have, that which heretofore you desired to be and possess. This is easily done by contemplating the joy that would be yours were your objective an accomplished fact, so that you live and move and have your being in the feeling of your realized wish. The feeling of the wish fulfilled, if assumed and sustained, must objectify the state that would have created it. This law explains why the Bible says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen," and why, quote, "He calleth things that are not seen, as though they were,
and the things that were not seen become seen. Assume the feeling of your wish fulfilled, and continue feeling that it is fulfilled until that which you feel manifests itself. If a physical fact can produce a psychological state, a psychological state can produce a physical fact. If the effect A can be produced by the cause B, then inversely, the effect B can be produced by the cause A. Therefore, as the Gospel of Mark says, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. A clear concept of the dual nature of our consciousness must be the basis of all true prayer. Consciousness includes a subconscious as well as a conscious part. The infinitely greater part of consciousness lies below the sphere of objective consciousness. The subconscious is the most important part of consciousness. It is the cause of voluntary action. The subconscious is what you are. The conscious is what you know. Or as Jesus said, I and my Father are one, but my Father is greater than I. The conscious and subconscious are one, but the subconscious is greater than the conscious. Jesus also said, I of myself can do nothing. The Father within me, he does the work. In other words, the I, the objective consciousness of myself, can do nothing. The Father, the subconscious, does all the work. The subconscious is that in which everything is known, in which everything is possible, to which everything goes, from which everything comes, which belongs to all, to which all have access. What we are conscious of is constructed out of what we are not conscious of. Not only do our subconscious assumptions influence our behavior, but they also fashion the pattern of our objective existence. The whole of creation is asleep within the deep of each person and is awakened to objective existence by our subconscious assumptions. Within that blankness we call sleep, there is a consciousness in unsleeping vigilance. And while the body sleeps, this unsleeping being releases from the treasure house of eternity the subconscious assumptions of humankind. Prayer is the key which unlocks this infinite storehouse. It modifies or completely changes our subconscious assumptions. And a change of assumption is a change of expression. The conscious mind reasons inductively from observation, experience, and education. It therefore finds it difficult to believe what the five senses and inductive reasoning denies. The subconscious reasons deductively and is never concerned with the truth or falsity of the premise, but proceeds on the assumption of the correctness of the premise and objectifies results which are consistent with the premise. This distinction must be clearly seen by all who would master the art of praying. No true grasp of the science of prayer can be really obtained until the laws governing the dual nature of consciousness are understood and the importance of the subconscious is realized. Prayer, the art of believing what is denied by the senses, deals almost entirely with the subconscious. Through prayer, the subconscious is suggested into the acceptance of the wish fulfilled, and, reasoning deductively, logically unfolds it to its legitimate end. The subjective mind is the diffused consciousness that animates the world. It is the spirit that giveth life. In all substance is a single soul, the subjective mind. Through all creation runs this one unbroken subjective mind. Thought and feeling fused into beliefs impress modifications upon it, charge it with a mission, one which it faithfully executes. The conscious mind originates premises. The subjective mind unfolds them to their logical ends. We transmit ideas to the subconscious through our feelings. The subconscious transmits ideas from mind to mind through telepathy. Your unexpressed opinions and convictions about other people are transmitted to them without their conscious knowledge or consent, and if subconsciously accepted by them, will influence their behavior. The only ideas that other people subconsciously reject are your ideas of them, which they could not wish to be true of anyone. Whatever they could wish for others can be believed of them. And by the law of belief which governs subjective reasoning, they are compelled to subjectively accept, and therefore objectively express, accordingly. The subjective mind is completely controlled by suggestion, and ideas are best suggested when the objective mind is partly subjective, that is, when the objective senses are diminished or held in abeyance. This partly subjective state can best be described as controlled reverie, wherein the mind is passive, but capable of functioning with absorption. It is a concentration of attention. There must be no conflict in your mind when you are praying. Turn from what is to what ought to be. Assume the mood of fulfilled desire, and by the universal law of reversibility, you will realize your desire. Prayers are not successfully made unless there is a rapport between the conscious and subconscious mind of the individual. This is done through imagination and faith. By the power of imagination, all people, especially imaginative ones, are forever casting forth enchantments, and all people, especially unimaginative ones, are continually passing under their power. Everything that can be seen, touched, explained, argued over, is to the imaginative person nothing more than a means to an end, for they function by reason of their controlled imagination in the deep of themselves, where every idea exists in itself and not in relation to something else. Within them there is no need for the restraints of reason, for the only restraint they can obey is the mysterious instinct that teaches them to eliminate all moods other than the mood of the fulfilled desire. Imagination and faith are the only faculties of the mind needed to create objective conditions. The faith required for the successful operation of the law of consciousness is a purely subjective faith and is attainable upon the cessation of active opposition on the part of the objective mind of the operator. It depends on your ability to feel and accept as true what your objective senses deny. It is not what you want that you attract. You attract what you believe to be true. Therefore, get into the spirit of these mental conversations and give them the same degree of reality that you would a telephone conversation. For as Jesus has said, "If thou can believe, all things are possible." the acceptance of the end wills the means, and the wisest reflection could not devise more effective means than those which are willed by the acceptance of the end. If you are praying for others, mentally talk to them as though your desires for them were already realized. To change your world, you must first change your conception of it. To change a person, you must change your conception of them. You must first believe them to be the person you want them to be, and mentally talk to them as though they were. All people are sufficiently sensitive to reproduce your beliefs of them. Therefore, if your word is not reproduced visibly in the person toward whom it is sent, the cause is to be found in you, not in the subject. As soon as you believe in the truth of the state affirmed, results follow. Everyone can be transformed. Every thought can be transmitted. Every thought can be visibly embodied. With a knowledge of the law of reversibility, the disciplined person transforms their world by imagining and feeling only what is lovely and of good report. The beautiful idea they awaken within themselves shall not fail to arouse its affinity in others. To pray successfully, you must have clearly defined objectives. You must know what you want before you can ask for it. You must know what you want before you can feel that you have it. And prayer is the feeling of the fulfilled desire. It does not matter what it is you seek in prayer, or where it is, or whom it concerns. You have nothing to do but convince yourself of the truth of that which you desire to see manifested. Prayers depend upon your attitude of mind for their success, and not upon the attitude of the subject. The subject has no power to resist your controlled subjective ideas of them, unless the state affirmed by you to be true of them is a state they are incapable of wishing as true of another. In that case, it returns to you, the sender, and will realize itself in you. Provided the idea is acceptable, success depends entirely on the operator, not upon the subject who, like compass needles on their pivots, are quite indifferent as to what direction you choose to give them. If your fixed idea is not subjectively accepted by the one towards whom it is directed, it rebounds to you from whom it came. For example, a person who directs a malicious thought to another will be injured by its rebound if they fail to get the subconscious acceptance of the other person. In other words, as ye sow, so shall ye reap. Furthermore, what you can wish and believe of another can be wished and believed of you, and you have no power to reject it if the one who desires it for you accepts it as true of you. The only power to reject a subjective thought is to be incapable of wishing a similar state on another person, because to give presupposes the ability to receive. Fools exploit the world. The wise transfigure it. It is the highest wisdom to know that in the living universe there is no destiny other than that created out of the imagination of humankind. There is no influence outside of the mind of humanity. In the words of the Apostle Paul, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Never accept as true of others what you would not want to be true of you. Lastly, remember this: to awaken a state within another, it must first be awake within you. The state you would transmit to another can only be transmitted if it is believed by you. Therefore, to give is to receive. You cannot give what you do not have, and you have only what you believe. So to believe a state is true of another not only awakens that state within the other, but it makes it alive within you. You are what you believe.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.